This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Mira Sivasudi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food. Of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
There's a saying that all roads lead to Ankh Morpork, greatest of Discworld cities. At least there's a saying that all roads lead to Ankh Morpork. And it's wrong. All roads lead away from Ankh Morpork, but sometimes people just walk along them the wrong way.
In a distant and second-hand set of dimensions, through wavering star mists, see the great Atun. Drifting onwards through space, atop the shell of the great turtle are four giant elephants upon whose broad shoulders rests the Discworld.
Fire roared through the bifurcated city of Ankh Morpork. Ever since I read those words by Terry Pratchett, I was obsessed. They were from The Colour of Magic, published in 1983, and they had my young mind turning cartwheels at the thought of this crazy, bustling city full of magic and guilds and thieves and death, the death, all of which perched upon a disc-shaped planet balancing on giant elephants, which in turn balanced on a giant turtle. The more Pratchett I read, the clearer a picture I had in my head about what Ankh Morpork was like. The city felt real, it felt alive, it felt tangible in a way that Tolkien's Middle Earth never did. Good afternoon, this is Bookmark on the Bigger Picture. I'm Uma Paganampakepagan, and you're listening to Invisible Cities, the show in which I take you on a journey to all of those places, both real and imagined, to all of those places you can only find within the pages of a good book. Terry Pratchett's Discworld is likely one of the most detailed and complex places ever put to paper. An imaginary world so big and teeming with life, so wonderfully rich with character, that I never did want to leave. The city of Ankh Morpork, excised from Pratchett's fertile imagination, gleaned from over 40 novels, is massive. So massive, in fact, that there are entire volumes that try to map and describe its various parts. It's so massive that it's more than I can possibly hope to ever convey in the 10 minutes I have for this show. So think of this as just the first installment to exploring this pearl of cities.
This is not a completely accurate description, of course. It was not round and shiny, but even its worst enemies would agree that if you had to liken Ankh Morpork to anything, then it might as well be a piece of rubbish covered with the diseased secretions of a dying mollusk.
We'll be visiting two of the city's great landmarks today, the Patrician's Palace and, of course, the infamous Unseen University. We begin our walking tour at Hubwad's Gate, down Upper Broadway, making a quick pit stop at the Royal Art Museum, currently curated by Sir Reynold Stitched. Visitors to Ankh Morpork have declared that this feature is not so much a museum as an attic, but if so, it is an attic that has stood the test of time.
Possibly the best known of the items the museum holds is the painting of Mona Og by Leonard of Quirm. And many visitors declare that the cheeky grin doesn't only follow them around the room, but sometimes turns up when they get home. Some exhibits appear to have simply arrived without anyone's foreknowledge, including installation labeled Take No Notice of the Elephant, author unknown, which is nevertheless valued as, well, priceless. It is a reasonable guess that, as is the case with most attics, there still remains plenty more in the museum that has not yet been classified.
Making our way down Upper Broadway, we pass the remains of the Old City Wall, the Guild of Clock and Watchmakers, and of course, the famous booksellers, Foyles Books and Periodicals. A reminder for those of you intending on doing some shopping that Foyles does not stock comics, trade magazines, or anything containing pictures of beach balls. Ah. Here we are, at the end of Upper Broadway by Turnwise and Widdershins, and before us lies the Patrician's Palace and grounds. It is said that on the grounds lies the Patrician's Menagerie, housing a range of animal life. It is the closest thing that Ankh Morpork has to a zoo, but access is by invitation only. The university librarian has been known to hop over the wall at night, but no one has ever had the courage to ask him what he does there.
Ankh-Morpork has dallied with many forms of government and has ended up with that form of democracy known as one man, one vote. The patrician is the man, he has the vote.
The patrician's palace is the place from which the patrician rules the city of Ankh-Morpork, normally from the oblong office, although on nice days he prefers to work in the garden. The palace has a throne room, the centre of which, the golden throne of Ankh, sits at the top of a flight of stairs covered in dust. Occasionally, the patrician sits at a wooden chair at the front of the stairs. The palace dungeons, most notably the scorpion pits, hold a number of felons, imprisoned at his lordship's pleasure. Since Lord Veterinary is seldom very pleased, they are generally in for the long haul.
Ankh-Morpork had not had a king for many centuries, but palaces tend to survive. A city might not need a king, but it can always use big rooms and some handy large walls, long after the monarchy is but a memory, and the building is renamed the Glorious Memorial to the People's Industry.
We now exit the Patrician's Palace and grounds onto Turnwise Broadway, through the mall, past the Embassy of the Diamond King, it's a troll embassy and emergency dental work is offered, onto the Plaza of Broken Moons, the Sham, before finally arriving at Sator Square, the vibrant and teeming space that draws every class, regardless of their station in society. It is also home to the Unseen University, the most prestigious seat of learning in the world. The Tower of Art at its centre is both the tallest building in the city and the oldest. It is home to a vast library of tomes accumulated over centuries and extending into space and time. Now, as a general rule, the university campus is not open to the public, but following an approach from Lord Veterinary to the Arch-Chancellor, a visitor's ticket may now be obtained by the serious researcher and admittance to a section of the library is allowed under supervision. I can advise that a gift of bananas to the librarian may speed the progress of the application.
Many things went on at Unseen University, and regrettably, teaching had to be one of them. The faculty had long ago confronted this fact and had perfected various devices for avoiding it. But this is perfectly alright, because to be fair, so had the students. The system worked quite well and, as happens in such cases, had taken on the status of a tradition. Lectures clearly took place because they were down there on the timetable in black and white. The fact that no one attended was an irrelevant detail. It was occasionally maintained that this meant that the lectures did not in fact happen at all, but no one ever attended them to find out if this was true. And therefore, education at the university mostly worked by the age-old method of putting a lot of young people in the vicinity of a lot of books and hoping that something would pass from one to the other, while the actual young people put themselves in the vicinity of inns and taverns for exactly the same reason.
It must be stressed that visitors should never move about the university without a guide. Arch-Chancellor Ridcully takes a very idiosyncratic view on the subject of health and safety, believing that anything unsafe is interesting and builds character, and that anything unhealthy is likely to be a very interesting drink.
Unseen University was much bigger on the inside. Thousands of years as the leading establishment of practical magic in a world where dimensions were largely a matter of chance, in any case had left it bulging in places where it shouldn't have places. There were rooms containing rooms, which if you entered them, turned out to contain the room you'd started with, which can be a problem if you're in a conga line.
And this is where our tour ends for today. It has been most rewarding. If you wish to take a break for some refreshment, I do recommend The Devil Amongst the Lawyers at the corner of Eight Deadly Sins and Oddlevy. They've got great local and imported ales and a selection of good traditional snacks. For those who like risk, the eagle-eyed might be able to find the secret entrance to the unseen university known only to millions of students down the ages. The casual explorer is welcome to use it and welcome to take the consequences. You've been listening to Invisible Cities, Bookmark, The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
So here it is then, the world premiere of the Anthem of Ankh-Morpork. Words by Terry Pratchett, music by Carl Davis. As Carl Davis commented during the sessions, it's gone platinum already.
You're still here. Good. Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.